Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being reminded who has the authority to make us a child of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 for a message called Jesus Christ, the Final Authority, as we go back to basics.
Some people are afraid that, you know, if I give my life to God, I might die of boredom. No, you won't, I promise you. But you probably will if you don't give your life to God. Boredom or some related disorder. I know when I hit the ripe old age of 21, man, I was bored to death. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm already bored. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? Well, thank God I got saved. That's what happened. And I haven't been bored since then. Because life is about knowing God. And when you come to know God, this is when life really begins. You know the Creator, and the Creator created you for a purpose. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that we were created for God's good pleasure. We were created for God's will. God has a will. God has a purpose. To be able to say to somebody, did you know that God loves you and has a purpose for your life? That's a truth. That's a wonderful truth. God loves you and he actually has a purpose for your life. Your life isn't meaningless. It's not random. It's not just a series of accidental events that happen in this period of time between when you get here and when you leave. Jesus said that life is about loving God, knowing God. This leads us to another question, where am I going? Where am I going? And these three questions, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? These are the deep philosophical questions that people have been grappling with for as old as man is, from the beginning of time. Where am I going? What's going to happen to me when I die? Because apparently, I'm going to die. Everybody else has. Everybody does. We're all going to die. What's going to happen after that? Well, again, Jesus spoke to this. Jesus spoke to this very thing. He said, the unrighteous will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25:46. Jesus said that after people die, there are only two possibilities. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's all there is. There's no other options. Now, of course, we have the conflicting voices. We have people who will say today, oh, no, that's not true. Everybody's going to go to heaven. They even have people in the church who will say that. Oh, don't listen to that hell stuff. You know, that's not true. God loves everybody. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Then you'll have some other people say, well, I don't know about heaven, but you know, there's this eternal spirit, and we're all going to get just sort of absorbed back into that. And then the good materialist comes along and says, oh, that all of that stuff is nonsense. You know, the fact of the matter is, you don't go anywhere when you die. You just simply cease to exist. Now, what all of those various voices and opinions have in common is they're all based upon guessing. Nobody knows, right? Well, I think that it's going to be this way. Well, you know, somebody told me that they think it's going to be like that. And I heard the story one time about this person, and they think they died, and they saw this light, and you know, we got all of these kinds of voices speaking, don't we? But listen, let me ask you a question. Do you want to listen to somebody who's guessing about this, or do you want to listen to somebody who speaks with authority because they know for sure? Well, on a matter as important as this, I would think that we would, you know, forget the guessing. I want to know. If there's somebody that knows about this, that's who I want to talk to. That's who I'm going to listen to. Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. You want to know what happens after you die? You need to go to Jesus. He's the one who knows. Because he's the one who was dead and came back to life. And not only that, but as he says, he has the keys, meaning he has the authority over hell and death. So why would we be so foolish, since death is inevitable, since it is an absolute certainty? Why would we be so foolish as to listen to voices that don't know, are only guessing, and not pay attention to the one who does know because he was there? So you see, Jesus speaks with absolute authority on these things. And make no mistake about it, Jesus made it clear that we were created by God. He made it clear that our purpose is to follow, know, love, serve God. He made it clear that there are only two options once death comes: heaven and hell. Now, these things are things that we all think about occasionally, but I don't know that we all would spend a lot of our time thinking about these things. I mean, quite honestly, we don't think about death all that often, do we? I did a funeral this past week. I've done a number over the past few months. And that's always a reminder. And when, you know, somebody you love passes away, or maybe, you know, you hear word that somebody's got a terminal illness, or maybe you get diagnosed with an illness, then all of a sudden these thoughts start coming back. And then there are those times when we start to think, well, where, you know, what is life really all about? And where did I come from? These are important, ultimate kinds of questions, but my point is this. They're not the things that we necessarily sit around and think about every day, but here's what we do think about every day. And here's what sort of drives us daily. It's these questions. How can I find happiness? How can I find peace? How can I be fulfilled? How can I have security in this life? These are the questions that are right under the surface, these are the things that are driving everybody on a daily basis, on an hourly basis in many cases. Are there answers to these questions? Well, again, we've got the opinions. We've got a variety of different voices speaking on these things. But let me first tell you what Jesus said. How do I find happiness? Jesus said, happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it, Luke 11:28. Jesus said, happy are those who are poor in spirit. The word blessed is, it can be translated happy. Many times Jesus would say, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So he's telling us how to have happiness. The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So I think if you were to do a survey of everybody on planet Earth, all, what is it, almost 7 billion people now, I think that if you ask this question, what is the one thing that you'd like in life more than anything else, I think everybody would probably come up with the same answer. I'd like to be happy. I'd like to be happy. People want to be happy. Well, Jesus told us how to be happy. He also told us how to find peace. He said in Matthew 11:28-29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you know, you could take the word rest and you can just put peace in there because the idea is the same. Jesus said, I will give you peace. He spoke to his disciples. He said, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Jesus claimed to be able to give peace. What about fulfillment? Is there any fulfillment? Is there any way to be rid of this empty feeling that I have? Is there any way to be satisfied to where I'm not going around always looking for some other thing because I've got this gnawing sense of emptiness inside of me? Jesus said, whoever drinks the water that I will give will never thirst. And of course, he was speaking spiritually. He wasn't talking about water in the literal sense, but he's talking about the spirit that he would give to us. He's likening it to the way water quenches the thirst and satisfies us. And what about security? What about my life? Is there anything that I can really ultimately trust in and find stability through? In Mark 8:35, Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will find it. Will find it. Their life will be established. Now again, we have the conflicting voices. But they've been, you know, repeated and heeded and yet to no avail for so long. It's amazing that people still listen. What is one of the voices? Well, one voice says, you know, the secret to happiness, peace, fulfillment, security is you got to make money. Wealth. That's the secret. And, you know, there's a lot of talk right now because of the season that we're in. There's a talk about the economy. There's talks about jobs. And all of those are important things. But, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the impression is given, you know, well, if we just get more money, we're going to be happy as a people. Well, we should know by now that that's not true. Because there's lots of really wealthy people who are miserable. They're absolutely miserable. We see about them on TV. We read their stories. We hear about them in newspapers. Some of these young actresses and actors who are, you know, living at the top of the world, they got more money than you could ever spend. And they're going from drug rehab to drug rehab to, you know, one visit to jail after another and one problem here and a marriage breakup and all of that stuff. It should be obvious that wealth is not the answer. Some people say, well, you know, it's education. We need more education. And the more educated you can become, then the more likely you're going to attain to happiness and peace and fulfillment and security. I attended a graduation for university yesterday, and it was wonderful. And my sister actually graduated, and it was great. It was a wonderful time, and I'm very proud of her for her accomplishments. And yet, as I was there at the graduation, one of the people who got up and spoke was it was like the student representative, and she got up and gave her speech. And, you know, I know she was excited, and it was all well-intended and everything, but pretty much what she essentially said is, you know, look, shaking her degree, you know, you got the key to happiness, peace, security, you got the key to fulfillment right there in your hand. Well, you know, congratulations to those graduates. That's a wonderful accomplishment. But if that's what you think that is, the key to happiness, you're going to be sorely disappointed in just a few days, probably. It just doesn't work that way, does it? But then there's the voices, you know, that say self-esteem. Our problems are we're unhappy because we don't love ourselves enough. We've got to learn to love ourselves so then we can love others better. You don't have peace because you don't feel good about yourself. So self-esteem, self-realization, these are the things. These are the conflicting voices. This is what people are listening to. These are the things that people are trying, and to no avail. But Jesus is speaking still, and listen to what Jesus said. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. See, that's the voice of authority. You want to know where there's happiness, peace, fulfillment, and security? Jesus said, it's in me. He said it's in him. So Jesus spoke with authority. He made these claims with no ambiguity, with no uncertainty. Jesus answered life's most vital questions. And those answers are universal. They're true for all time, all people, in all places. And we could, if we had the opportunity, we could assemble people from all over the planet, from every imaginable background, from other religions and spiritualities and cultures and languages, and we could assemble a multitude of people that would tell the same story about, I tried to find happiness, peace, fulfillment, security. I looked into this and I went after that, and all to no avail. But then somebody told me about Jesus Christ and about his word, and I received that and I met him, and now I can say that I know that I was created by God. And because God created me, that means that there is a God and he loves me and he has a plan for my life. And I don't have to worry when I lie down at night about where I'm going to go if I don't wake up before morning, because I know I'll go to heaven because I'm trusting in Jesus. And it's no longer a great mystery about how to find happiness, peace, fulfillment, and security, because Jesus has brought that to me. And people from all over the planet would testify to that very thing. So that's one of the evidences for the truth of these things that Jesus proclaimed, that multitudes of people have experienced what he said to be true. But you might say, oh, well, okay, that's fine for you, but I've never experienced that, so I don't know if it's true, just because you said it. So here's the question. How do we know Jesus really has the authority and the final word on these matters? Is there some objective proof? Is there something that we can say, okay, this right here shows that Jesus is the final authority on all of these matters? And you know what? There is. There is something. There was a point, all the Gospels tell us about it, where Jesus went into the temple, you remember, his father's house. His father's house that was intended to be a house of prayer. But as he went into the temple, you remember what he found. He said, you have turned my father's house into a den of thieves. And what did he do? He was angry. The Bible tells us that he made a small whip. He went through. He began to turn over the money changers' tables. He began to drive these charlatans out of his father's house. Now, all of this was going on. And in the midst of this, the religious authorities who were behind all of this was their business, they came to Jesus and they said this to him. They said, by what authority do you do these things? They wanted to know about his authority. Just like people today would say, well, by what authority does Jesus say this? Or how do we know that what Jesus said is actually the case? And the same answer he gave them is the answer that he gives to anyone and everyone asking that question, right down to this very day. They said, by what authority do you do this? And he said, this is my authority. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. Jesus said, you want to know my authority? Kill me, and I'll rise from the dead. That's authority. Right there. There is no greater authority. And there's no other person in history that did that. See, lots of people have come. Lots of people have expressed opinions. There's lots of voices, like we've said. But you know what? The person has come. They've thought. They've spoken. Their voice has gone out. They've died, gone into the grave, and remained there. Not so with Jesus. He came. He lived, he spoke, he backed up his word with authority even then, as we read in the text. But then the ultimate authority would be his resurrection. And Paul the Apostle, when he would later preach the gospel in Athens, the center of philosophy, there in the Areopagus, Mars Hill, he stood there and he said, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. God commands all men everywhere to repent, he said. For he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, and he has designated that person by whom he will judge the world. He has put his mark on him, so to speak, by raising him from the dead. You see, the resurrection is the great apologetic. It's the great proof that Jesus is who he said he is, that his words are true, that they are authoritative, and that everything he declared, everything he promised, is all a reality. He didn't just say it, he proved it by rising from the dead. But this is the reality, the wonderful reality that Jesus is. He is the authority. He has the answers. We did not come into being through a series of cosmic accidents. Life is not meaningless or purposeless. You don't just cease to exist when you take your last breath here on earth. And these things of vital importance, happiness, peace, fulfillment, and security, we know already they're not found in any of the things that we're generally told they're found in. Jesus gave the answer to all of these. He spoke with authority. He gave the answer. Jesus ultimately is the answer. He's the answer. And the real issue is, have we received him? Have we received him? When you receive Jesus, all of those things that he spoke with authority about become a reality for you. Remember Jesus said regarding heaven and hell, he said that the unrighteous will go into everlasting punishment and the righteous into eternal life. Well, here's the problem, right? We're all unrighteous. And there is none righteous, no, not one. So how do you even get these categories? Well, the unrighteous are those who refuse to receive Christ and receive the righteousness that God gives as a gift. And the righteous are those who did receive. That's the difference between unrighteous and righteous. Again, it all comes down to Jesus. What do you do with him? As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. Jesus today has the authority to make you God's child. And that's what it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to become a child of God. You don't become a child of God by getting baptized when you're a baby, by attending Sunday school when you're a little kid, by being, you know, forced to go to church, or growing up in a Christian family. You become a child of God by personally receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has the authority to make you a child of God. And in doing that, all these things are connected. You go from the category of unrighteous, going off into eternal punishment, to righteous, going off into eternal life. And while we wait for that, we get to do so with joy, peace, fulfillment, security, and a lot of excitement. And things are going to get better and better. So may God help us to embrace Jesus, God's final authority.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Jesus Christ, the Final Authority, and the resource number is OBB557. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you are Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.